This is a fun one. Rendering reality, how to see things more clearly. The fascinating thing about being a human is just how incredibly limited we are. We have donned in these bodies, these sort of arrangement of cells that have only 5 human senses that can detect the world and all the things in it. But that limit is part of what creates so much conflict in the world and between us. Let me start where you would start with any discussion about hard conversations, with a discussion of light. There is a vast amount of light in the world that the human eye cannot detect. So the human eye can actually see the wavelengths that are comprised of the standard rainbow colors, which you can see here. But there's a whole lot of invisible light in the vast field of the electromagnetic spectrum. So there are longer wavelengths, things like infrared light. Those are longer than the wave of the rainbow. There's microwaves and radio waves, all of which are longer. But there are also shorter wavelengths that the eye can't see, things like ultraviolet light, X-rays, or gamma. None of these things can be perceived by the human eye, but they are real and out there, even though we can't see them. Of course, it isn't just light that is very limited in terms of what we can see. Roughly the equivalent of an octave on a grand piano is about all we can see. The same is true with hearing. The human ear really can hear a range of about 65 hertz on the lowest end up to about 20,000 hertz on the highest end. If you were to compare that to a dog, for example, they can roughly double the hearing. Now, they don't go much lower than we go, but they can hear, of course, from about 60 hertz all the way up to 40,000 hertz. So they're about double the range of what they can actually hear. That means they have access to realities that are no less real that we can't access. We cannot access those. Same with scent. Some dogs have a nose that is 10 million times more powerful than a human. So this is an incredible limitation that humans possess. Why do I tell you all of this? Well, I want you to know that you and I are limited. And that means that when we see what we see in the world, we may not actually see everything. And that is an incredibly helpful posture anytime you're going to start with a hard conversation. Now, let's assume just starting with the things we can see. Here's a picture of a building. This is actually the Independent. It's the tallest building west of the Mississippi. The company I used to work for, we built this, Aspen Heights. This is a picture of that building. But before it was built, of course, there was this thing called a rendering or a scale model, something that roughed out the idea before we actually built it. And a rendering is very interesting, or a scale model is very interesting, because it uses something known as selective compression. It's literally where you select certain pieces and you take them out. So you notice there's no windows here. There's no fire hydrants. There's no light poles or cranes. In reality, there's all kinds of things. They don't have any of that because all they're trying to do is get the rough idea. You want the approximation. And so selective is the stuff you remove, and compression is the things you shrink down. And so this is, of course, not full size. It's a shrunk down version. This is what we do as humans. The brain actually uses a rendering of reality, not reality itself. We use selective compression. So, you know, in this example, if you were to just zoom in for a minute on the real part of this building and you were to look at more of the details, you could see so many different things going on in this image, along with the background behind the building, everything that's available to you now. If you do the same thing on the model, the scale model, and zoom in there, what you see is very simple things. And this is how all of us go through life. We see a selective compression, a rendering, and as a result, it is partially accurate, but it is incredibly limited in what it sees. And so when you set the two next to each other, you can see that the reality and the rendering of reality are not the same. Yes, they're an approximation, but they are there's vastly more information in reality. So The problem with reality is this, and the reason that we can't detect it all isn't just because our senses are limited, it's also because our brains are limited. So, for example, reality comes at us at maybe an estimated trillions of bits of data per second. But the human brain can only process about 60 bits of data per second on average. And what that means is the brain has to use techniques. Psychologists call these perceptual filters. And one of the first ones we use is simply a blocking. So when we're rendering that reality and trying to make sense of that huge discrepancy, we have to block a lot of information. And when we block, that just means we get less stuff. For example, in the picture you saw before, the background is missing in the rendering. You didn't need to create that because you're just focused on one thing. So that's a blocking. Here's another way of thinking about this. Here's a couple on a beach. They're looking out over a lake. And I don't know if you can see it, but there's also a baby in this photo. Now, if you can't see it, I want you to pay attention to the foreground, not the background. So look at the tree and the outline that it makes. View the negative space as the image and allow the tree to become the background. And as the tree is the background, the foreground becomes a very large baby. A lot of people can't even see it even after I explain it. But this is illustrating a really powerful concept in what's called gestalt psychology, which is we select the figure from the ground based upon our needs. So when I say we're going to use a blocking technique, what are we blocking? What are we selecting? Well, according to this principle, we are selecting certain things based upon our needs. So let's say I am in an empty nest and I am ready to retire. The thing that I'll see in this picture based upon my needs is a couple standing on a beach looking out over a lake. But let's say I'm a young woman who's wanting to get pregnant. Maybe in this picture, the first thing I would see is not the couple on the beach, but actually the baby. Now, both are in this image, but your brain will only see one or the other at a time. And that's a really important feature of how we enter and come to the world. So that's blocking. Now, we also bend reality. We take things and we distort them. So for example, here's a picture of a man wearing a pink shirt, hugging a woman as she is reading a newspaper. Now, the funny thing about that woman wearing the black shirt is that she's got very hairy arms and she's quite a bit bigger than the man in the pink shirt. And then you would think, well, actually, it looks like maybe it's the man who's wearing the black shirt and he's got the hairy arms and the woman's got the pink shirt. And now you can see the brain has played a little bit of a trick based on what I fed you. So here's another one of a woman hovering on a board above a beach. Well, is she hovering on a board or is the shadow there that beneath actually just the flag and she's just further down the beach? So here's how the brain can distort. Now, I'm using visual metaphors to describe what happens in our life. When we encounter situations, our brain will bend them based upon our needs, our expectations. So if I think that somebody doesn't like me before I meet them and they look away from me, I might interpret that and bend that meaning to be about them not liking me. And when in fact, they just wanted to look aside and it didn't mean anything. And so this is what the brain can do with the reality we see out there. The final thing that the brain does after bending is we blend. That's where we merge or generalize things that are similar and we call them the same. This is also what gives rise to racism, the natural embedded processing tendencies of the human mind to blend ideas, insights, experiences. A really common experience of blending is when you say, you know what, I've seen this experience, I've had this experience before, I know how it's going to end, it ended badly before, it's going to end badly now. Now, that's really helpful. Experience helps you anticipate problems. The challenge with that is you cannot ever step in the same river twice. The nature of time and human experience is always changing. And so while you can use your experience and your generalization of a past experience to come to a new one, it is not necessarily ever the same. And so that can be a problem for us, a limit for us. So, you know, when you see a bunch of dots and you change the colors of those dots, suddenly you can generalize into rows. And you see orange row, right, white row, but those aren't real. That isn't actually there. It's just based on the generalization that the mind does. In reality, it's just a bunch of dots. And as Mark Twain famously observed, all generalizations are false, including this one. And so what that shows us is that we have to be very careful about the way in which our brain blends, merges, or generalizes these things. Now, These are basically your lenses. We all live with lenses, perceptual filters, and they're like sunglasses, and we try them on, but when they're on your face, you can't actually see the lens. It's totally invisible to you. All you can see is through the lens, and the world is colored according to that lens, and those lenses will block certain frequencies of light. If you wear rose-colored lenses, everything's going to look pretty red. It's going to bend certain light. It's actually going to make certain things more clear and other things more blurry, and it's going to blend light. It's going to actually cluster light together that's similar. So these lenses that we employ all the time, this bending, blocking, and blending, they kind of create a set of concepts in our mind, and that's the furniture, how it's arranged in our mind. This is the rendering, or what psychologists call perception. And perception is not always reality. Rendering is not always reality. So this sort of process is what happens in the brain. Now, none of this is a problem. None of this causes any problems until we do one other thing, which is we take that thing in our brain that we've now perceptually created the rendering, and we project it onto the world outside. And we say, that is real. What is in my head and what I think and believe is absolutely true, and I'm putting it out into the world and saying that's there. Also not a problem as long as you're by yourself. But the problem is you're going to meet somebody else, and they're going to have a fundamentally different rendering of the exact same reality, because what their lenses choose to block, bend, and blend are different than yours. And that creates totally different furniture of the mind. They go ahead and project it out into the world, and then the two of you have conflict. Welcome to the world of conflict. Hopefully this will get us started for the next stage of the work around how to have hard conversations. Keep this in mind.